Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on the Live on Real with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover will dive deep into the questions that you are asking. He understands the challenges you are facing on a day-to-day basis because he still works every day on the front lines of real estate, with him and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. Over the next 5 months, Jeff is going to walk us through the 20 steps of the Glover U sales system. Today, we'll go over step one, understanding your real estate realities. In this step, Jeff will go over the 20 skills required to succeed at a high level in real estate. You can take the Glover U Real Estate Self-Assessment at www.gloveru.com/self. Now, let's hear from Jeff Glover on the 20 steps to the Glover U sales system.
This is step one of the Glover U sales system. I wrote down, step one is understanding your real estate realities. Understanding your real estate realities. And I wrote down, and you can just listen. So if you're a lead agent or a team leader in the room looking to build a company, looking to build an office, this is the first step I would start with. We call it the realities of real estate, and we need to get comfortable with these realities because mastering these is exactly what we'll need to do in order to be successful. So first, we need to determine why we got into this business in the first place and what kind of agent we want to be. You know, I get on my soapbox probably too much about this. Everybody, you know, I hate hearing, well, you know, the next level for me, the next spot, you know, I've been doing this for like 18 months, I'm pretty good at it, I'm ready for the next level. The single most profitable thing you can do in real estate is sell real estate. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's a reason why I'm still on the ground selling real estate every single day, right? I hear all the time, well, I think it makes sense. You know, I don't want to be, you know, selling a ton. I'd rather just start a team. Okay, you're going to be working twice as much for half as much. Now, if your passion is helping develop people and you're okay working 80 hours instead of 40 and you're okay with the pay cut, then I suggest you do that. Well, then I hear this one all the time, which is just a crock in this business. Yeah, but I need to own something. I need to own the business. I don't own a business. Nobody owns a business in real estate. Your business is your database. What you own is the database. That's it. And by the way, when you're gone or you move on to something else, that database goes from, like, it's worth maybe 10% of what it was worth at one time. Because we see this all the time, and I get asked, you know, hey, I'm thinking about getting out of the business. Who should I be talking to? What is my business worth? And the response is always the same, which I've heard all through the years. Your business is only worth as much as your database. That's it. Because once you're gone, it's gone. We're all real estate salespeople. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is or what you own. Your business is your database. And when that's gone, that's gone. Now, it might be worth something to someone else. But the reality is that if you want to sell, if you want to have a lot of income and make a lot of money, it's in real estate sales. So a lot of what you'll hear from me is about being a better salesperson. Because, oh, by the way, for those of you in the room that are more interested in being better leaders, guess what one of the biggest traits of a leader is? Being a great salesperson. So if you're thinking, well, I'm here because, you know, I'm a team leader or I'm running this or I'm managing that, good. Then improve your sales skills and your leadership skills will improve. Well, why do I have to have sales skills if I'm a leader? Because you have to constantly sell people on things that they don't believe or see in themselves. And if you're unsuccessful, hear me loud and clear at this, if you're unsuccessful at selling others on themselves, you will not be a good leader. So I get all the time, well, you know, why do I need to hear this sales stuff? Because in order to be a great leader, you have to be able to convince others that they can be their best and they can be better at what they're currently doing. So understanding your real estate realities. Until we get clear about why we got into this business and why we currently work our business the way we do, the rest won't matter. So I wrote down the roles in the real estate business. You have a decision to make. What are your realities? Do you want to be a great buyer's agent? Do you want to be a great listing agent? Do you want to do both? Do you want to lead people? Do you want to develop people? Do you want to be a solo agent so you can have all the independence and freedom in the world and all the freedom and flexibility? You can have a lot of freedom and flexibility in this business. For those of you that have been doing this for a while, you know what I mean when I say you can have all that freedom and flexibility you want. You just won't have any income. That's reality, which is why so many coaching companies exist today, because agents, the smart ones, realize they need to pay someone to hold them accountable. the real estate realities. We need to look at our skills in the following areas. I wrote down the 20 skills required to succeed at a high level in this business. This is the reality of real estate. And honestly, when you write down these skills, which I'll share them with you in a moment, I want you to rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10 on where you fall. 10 being the best there is. I actually could probably come up here and teach that better than Jeff, so give me the microphone. Let's go. Or 1, I got no idea, or like most of us, somewhere in the middle or a little better than in the middle. Rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10 on the following 20 skills required to succeed in this business at a high level. Skill number 1, sure, if you guys know me well enough, you know the first one I'm going to say is time management. Without question, this is probably the single greatest skill. I see our agents all the time, and I do everything I can to help them get better and help them with their time management and hold them accountable. How can you expect to be a leader in life? How can you expect people to look up to you if you can't even effectively manage your own time? On a scale from 1 to 10, honestly, 10 being you are a master at it, right? You have the discipline like Kate displayed up here. 5 being, I think I'm pretty average compared to everyone else. Rate yourself. Skill number 2, the skill of prospecting for buyers and sellers. The skill of prospecting for buyers and sellers, which is probably the second most important piece, because quite honestly, that won't happen if point number 1 doesn't happen. 20 skills required to succeed at a high level in this business today. Skill number 3 is database management. Database management. This is how well you work your past clients, your sphere of influence, how well you stay in touch, what kind of contact information you have, what you do with that contact information. Skill number 4, how well are you at pre-qualifying for motivation? Skill number 4, pre-qualifying for motivation. How skilled am I at determining the other person's motivation? Because the reality is, I hear this all the time, oh, lead follow-up. You know, you got to set them up on drip campaigns. You got to have, 10 days of pain and all these different systems, which we'll talk about our lead follow-up system in a moment. But the reality is, our number one job of lead follow-up is to determine their motivation as quickly as possible. Number one job in lead follow-up, right? So we hear all the time, well, isn't the number one job in lead follow-up to set an appointment? Nope. If you are out there doing lead follow-up with the goal of setting an appointment, you're turning a lot of people off. And you're losing business to other people. The number one goal of lead follow-up is to determine their motivation. The second goal of lead follow-up is then to determine whether you go in for an appointment, or you set them up on some type of search, or you set them up on a drip campaign, or you set a follow-up date. Don't make the mistake of constantly doing your lead follow-up looking for an appointment. Because the reality is, the consumer, we have to match the motivation of the customer. If the motivation of the customer is way up here, and I'm kind of not really feeling it today, I'm not that energetic and enthusiastic, and I'm not calling back as quick as I said I would, but they're up here and I'm here, they're going to look at me like I'm lazy. But if I'm up here and they're right here, I know they're going to be buying or selling a home in the next couple months. I know they're going to be buying or selling in the next few weeks, just not right now. But I'm up here saying, hey, I got to get a deal. I got to get a paycheck. I got to pay this bill. Our motivation is up here and the customer's is right here. Guess what? We appear as a sleazy salesperson. So our job always is to pre-qualify for their motivation so we can match their motivation. Then, and only once we understand their motivation, can we determine whether it makes sense to set an appointment or use the scripts and dialogues to close for an appointment. Don't make the mistake of closing for an appointment on every single person you talk to. Next, I wrote down skill number 5, which we just got into. Lead follow-up and lead conversion. The skill of lead follow-up and lead conversion. Two different things. I hear this all the time. Conversion. What's your conversion rate? How do you convert? What's your lead conversion? No. There's lead follow-up, and then there's lead conversion. Lead follow-up is the action, what you do, the steps, the frequency at which you follow up. That's what lead follow-up is. Lead conversion is what you say to convert. You see the difference? Lead follow-up is the frequency at which we attempt to reach out. Lead conversion is what we do or what we say to get them to say yes, to get them to agree to an appointment. So how would you rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10? Lead follow-up and lead conversion. Number 6, the skill of the listing consultation. The skill of the listing consultation. How well are you on your listing appointments? Do you deliver an off-the-chart presentation? Like, do they stand up and applaud you when you're done? Probably not. I haven't had that yet. Still waiting for it. Scale from 1 to 10. How great is your listing presentation? Skill number 7. How strong are you at pricing property? How well are you, you know, I hear this from agents all the time. Oh, they listed with somebody else because they went with the higher price. I didn't get the listing because some other bozo told them a higher price. You understand that every time I lose a listing because of price, I look at it as what could I have done differently to help show the seller the right price better? You understand that every time I hear from a seller or I see that they listed with another agent at a higher price, my response isn't, oh, that bozo agent takes listings overpriced all the time. I'll get it when it expires. That's not my mindset. My mindset is, what could I have done differently? What could I have said or what could I have shown them that helps them understand where the right price needs to be? I take responsibility for that when they list with someone else at a higher price. I didn't spend enough time with them on pricing. Next, I wrote down skill number 8, the skill of seller communication and price reductions. The skill of seller communication and price reductions. Scale from 1 to 10. Hey, I get price reductions almost every single time I call them. Or, gosh, it's tough. I need some more work in that area. Rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. Number 9, the skill of handling objections. 20 skills are required to succeed at a high level. 20. Gosh, that seems like a lot. Well, welcome to real estate. The skill of objection handling. How well do you handle their objections? Do you follow the rules of handling objections? One of the steps in the Glover U sales system, we talk all about how to master objections. We'll get into that. Skill of negotiating and closing, number 10. Rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. The skill of negotiating closing. How much work have you done in negotiating and closing? Are you a master at getting a signature? Or do you sit there and just wait for them to say, okay, what's the next step? Number 11, delivering a powerful buyer consultation. The skill of delivering a powerful buyer consultation. What does your buyer consultation look like? Did you make any modifications to it in 2019? There's changes in the market. No, I'm using the same one I did last year. You're not having discussions with them about interest rate. You're not having discussions with them about the market. You're not doing anything differently to create urgency. We'll talk about that. Number 12, 20 skills required, the skill of business planning and revisiting the plan. The skill of business planning and revisiting the plan. Sure, we all, you know, we attend a class or a seminar or we do, you know, we go to a webinar, whatever. We all put together a business plan at some point in time. But more importantly, how often do you go back and revisit it? How often do you go back and make adjustments? One of the things that I've committed to our associates this year, which I know Kate and all the other coaches at Glover U are doing the same, is revisiting the agent's business plan once a month. Once a month. Now, of course, you could say, well, I look at mine every week. Great. You look at it at least once a month. You make adjustments to it at least once a month, but you don't adjust your goal every month. The goal gets adjusted quarterly. So if you need to make an adjustment to your business plan, that's fine, but you don't touch the goal once a month. I get that question from time to time. Well, you know, if we're meeting once a month to work on the business plan, what are we doing? Two things we're looking at. The action plan that you put together and how well you're taking action on those items, and the new daily schedule. Those are the two areas I want you to visit every single month. Because the reality is that you can't expect to increase your production without changing your daily routines, which of course is the daily habits, which boils down to the daily schedule. So the skill of business planning and revisiting it. Number 13, the skill of mastering your scripts. The skill of mastering your scripts. Oh my gosh, it's 2019. Are we still talking about scripts? When is technology just going to take over? It's not. All right, hopefully not in our lifetimes and definitely not in the foreseeable future. Because the reality is as much as technology is going to help make our lives a little bit easier, maybe it's going to disrupt things a little bit. The reality is that a buyer is still going to appreciate the buyer consultation and a seller is still going to appreciate the listing presentation because this is the single greatest asset for most people in America. So I love the idea of all the new technology that's coming out. You see all this stuff going on about these companies rolling out technology. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried that it's going to affect my business in a negative way because I know that I'm the most skilled person for the job. Just put me in front of a buyer or seller. I don't care how I get there. I might use technology to help me get there. Cool. But I still need to get in front of a buyer and I still need to get in front of a seller every single day. And the only thing that's going to matter once I'm in front of a seller or a buyer every single day is what comes out of my mouth. So we can talk all day about how technology is going to make things better, disruptive, this and that. Doesn't matter. It still matters what I say. Number 14, 20 skills required to succeed at a high level in this business, creating an unreal customer experience. There's that unreal word again. Creating an unreal customer experience. Remember, something so amazing, it's almost unbelievable. How often do you have a closing, and as you're walking out, you're shaking hands, you're doing your closing photos, and they're saying, wow, that was an amazing experience. How often does that happen to you? Be honest. Yeah? Not often, right? And every now and then it does, and we go Facebook Live and show it off to everybody and rah, rah, rah. But the reality is it's not a normal thing. Because there's so much that happens in the transaction, most of which we don't have control over, that causes the experience to not be so unreal. So what are you doing to create that unreal customer experience? Skill number 15, the skill of controlling my mindset. Woo! The skill of controlling my mindset. The little voices upstairs saying, oh, this isn't right. Oh, this person wronged you. The company wronged you. How often does that play into your actions? Because just like Kate said, right, spending time with those that are putting things into your head causes you to do one of two things. I'm saying it a little bit differently than she said it, but it's essentially the same thing. What you put into your head causes you either to get into positive action or into negative action. And oh, by the way, negative action equals no action. So anytime you have a negative thought or you perpetuate a negative thought or you continue to listen to negativity and be involved in negativity, it's causing you to have negative action, which is no action. Versus the positive discussions and the solutions-based discussions, which then lead to action. Number 16. Skills required to succeed at a high level in this business, money management and profitability. Skill number 16, money management and profitability. When you get money, what do you do with it? Honestly, what does your profitability look like? I know Kate and the other coaches at Glover U work with a lot of agents that are like, yeah, I got this big business and, you know, I got like 5-6 agents and I got a good thing going, but the only problem is I'm not making any money. I was making more money, you know, when I was on a team, or I was making more money as a solo agent. Help me. Well, one of the skills required to succeed at a high level in this business is how well do you manage your money? One of the things we put out on Facebook not too long ago was, you know, 7 or 8 things that you can do this year to take action on. And I remember early on, my very first broker, who's no longer with us, his name's Tim Riley, he said, Jeff, I want you to do, every single time you get a commission check, I want you to put 50% of it away. 50% goes into savings, 50% goes into checking. And live on the 50% that goes into your checking. Now, of course, Why was he telling me to do that? Number one, because he knew, like most real estate agents, taxes, I'll get to those later. I'll get around to that. That's not an expense. He knew I had to have money set aside for taxes, which when I was starting in the business, my tax bracket was pretty low. So he knew that if I set aside 50% of every single check, I would be left with a good amount of money left over after I pay my taxes. And so it forced me to live on 50% of my income, which, oh, by the way, doesn't mean that I live on 50% of my income. What it means is it forced me to get into more action and do 2 or 3 times the amount of sales. Versus thinking, okay, I got to live on half of what I'm used to living on. No, it actually caused me to get into more action because I realized I had to live on half. Next, I wrote down number 17, 20 skills required to succeed at a high level today. Social media management. Social media management. How often are you involved in social media? What does your business from social media look like? Fortunately, it's one of the steps in our system. Number 18, 20 skills required to succeed at a high level. And I really thought this next one was going to go away. I really thought, oh gosh, I can't wait. It's 2013, 2014, the market's heating up, things are getting hot. Finally, we can stop doing open houses. No, but instead, what happened? Open houses became more and more popular. Open houses became more and more popular because the inventory was so scarce, buyers had to exhaust all efforts to go find property. And so, therefore, we had to develop the skill, I wrote down number 18, of hosting proactive open houses. Scale from 1 to 10. Which, by the way, which we'll talk about a little bit later, the results we receive from the open houses we're hosting today, as the market continues to shift, are not going to be the same results that we saw in the last few years. Why is that? That's because the buyers now have choices again. They don't have to exhaust all options and all efforts to go find about properties. So therefore, we're going to have to change our open house strategy if we want to get more of the same or better results from them. Scale from 1 to 10, how are you at that? Number 19, 20 skills required. Number 19, the skill of personal accountability. The skill of personal accountability. How coachable are you? How strongly do you want to be held accountable? Are you an accountable person, or do you need someone to hold you accountable? It's amazing what we'll do for others because we know others are watching and are concerned or are thinking about us versus what we'll do for ourselves. So, you know, I'd rather just kind of keep this goal and this whole thing to myself because then I have the option. As Kate said, remove the option. Then I have the option to take action on it or not. But see, if I tell everyone I'm going to do it, then I'm going to have to do it, which is why most successful people today hire a coach. Finally, skill number 20. You just heard Kate's favorite. Your skill of self-discipline. 20 skills required to succeed at a high level, the skill of self-discipline. How strong is that skill? How disciplined are you? You saw an example of what a 10 on discipline. I mean, 10 miles to go get a microwave? Come on. It would have been so easy to just say, you know what? There's plenty of food here. So take a look at that list, 1 through 20. Take out your phones, and I want you to calculate this up. Take out your phones, put on the calculator, total it all up. Right now, I'll give you a moment. Add them up. You know, I'm a 7, I'm a 6, I'm a 5, I'm a 5, I'm a 6, I'm a 10, I'm an 8, I'm a 4, I'm a 2, I'm a 1. Add them all up. And, you know, write the number, the total really small. You don't want, you know, your neighbor to see what you write down after I share with you. Cover it up. Write down your total. If you score less than 100, I want you to take this list, study it 1 hour a day for the next 6 months. Take this list and study it 1 hour a day for the next 6 months. And oh, by the way, this list is the program. This list is the 20 steps in the Glover U sales system, which you are going to be receiving over the course of the next couple days. If you scored less than 100, we got to put a lot of time into this. If you scored between 100 and 150, you're doing okay. Just identify the two or three ones that you scored the lowest on, and let's focus on improving those. And then, of course, if you're over 150, you're either lying or there's at least one area that you could improve on. There's at least one area that you could take some action on. So regardless of where you're at, let's head to the next step.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. If you would like to take the real estate self-assessment and have a member of Glover U get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score, go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes or Podbean and subscribe today. Until next time, remember, the number one reason why agents fail is because of a lack of self-discipline and motivation.